Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Lori Walsh is off today. Several years ago, it became pretty obvious that the Dakota Territorial Museum in Yankton was running out of space. Opportunity came with the restoration of the Mead Building, and last month, the Dakota Territorial Museum reopened in its new location. Crystal Nelson is the executive director of the Dakota Territorial Museum. She joins us to visit about this decade-long journey and the continuing work that will see exhibits rolled out over the next few years. Crystal, thanks for joining us. Welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you for having us.
So for those who might not be familiar with the Dakota Territorial Museum to start off with, can you give us maybe just a little bit of a piece of the history of this museum before this move into the new building?
Sure. You know, as the museum started collecting in 1936, the Daughters of the American Revolution had taken it on as a project, and they really were the first ones collecting. And then in the 1960s, we had the, centennial of Dakota Territory. Yankton County Historical Society was created, and they took over ownership of that collection, and they've been in ownership of it ever since. And so the collection continues to grow. The focus of our collection is the Dakota Territory, all of what is present-day South Dakota, North Dakota, and then there's parts of Montana and Wyoming, all the way up until statehood of South Dakota, which is in 1889. After that, we kind of reduce our geographic focus a little closer to home, and we focus more on Yankton County and the Missouri River Valley in that within that jurisdiction. So.
Mm-hmm. And so, as we said, this was kind of a decade process moving into this new space. Can you talk a little bit about when is that moment when a museum realizes we need more room?
I started with the Historical Society in 2007, and there was already a conversation at that time. They were in a building that had only like a 30-year lifespan, and it was going on over 40 years. Mm. And so the building itself was starting to become an issue, and the collection was just overflowing. And we had storage spaces off-site, and there was just things that, boxes and boxes of items just packed full, some really great things. But, of course, that was to a detriment of the collection. It was becoming to very obvious that more space was needed, not just for exhibits, but just for the storage, so that everything can be stored properly and have the amount of space that it really needs.
Mm-hmm. And so opportunity comes with the renovation of the Mead Building. What can you tell us about the Mead Building's own history in the Yankton community?
Sure. So the Mead Building was constructed in 1909. The mastermind, I guess you want to say, behind that was Dr. Leonard C. Mead. Although he was a mental health physician at the time, he originally wanted to be an architect in his career, but he found this calling more to be a mental health physician. But he took that love and that hobby of architecture and really poured that into the campus. So the Mead Building is one of the first buildings he constructed. And there wasn't a lot of money available to him to build, even though it was desperately needed. So he utilized what resources he had close by. So majority of the building is just solid concrete. Where the rest of the materials come in for the building, as far as all the marble, our centerpiece being a grand marble staircase, we're still a little unsure on the details and how that was acquired, although there's some oral histories that mention that Dr. Mead may have just purchased it himself out of his own pocket. So he was really forward-thinking in what he was doing, and this was just one of many buildings he built the way that he did. And so it continued on. Just the Mead Building was the women's ward of the hospital. There was over 54 historic buildings across the campus. By the time Dr. Mead was finished with it. And so the women's ward was just simply what the Mead Building was used for, but there was, of course, other buildings on the campus for other purposes. And it was used as such until the 1970s. In the 1970s, it stopped being used for patient housing, was being used for administrative offices and a few other things. And by 1980, it was finished, and they stopped using it. And that then until the Yankton County Historical Society Board of Directors received an invitation to tour the facility, because, in fact, we were told it was on the demolition list. and we were in need of a new facility. And once we toured it, we thought we were touring it to just have a chance to take pictures and see it before it was demolished. But then after seeing it, we realized the potential that is in that building. And so we put together a proposal, and we had asked the state of South Dakota and the governor if he'd be willing to let us have a shot at it to turn it into a museum. And fortunately, he did support that. And so now we are where we are today.
Wow. How does the Mead building has its own kind of rich history in the community. What is that like for you to see kind of the combination of these two entities kind of come together?
Oh, you know, I think it's overwhelmingly positive. The opportunity that it provides us to take a topic that's been maybe controversial for years, which is the history of mental health and techniques and how mental health is kind of progressed and yet not progressed in some areas. And to have that opportunity now to not only have a facility to help us teach and educate and help people understand really the positive sides and the real side of mental health history, that has so much great space to allow us to talk about the rich history of this Dakota Territory. See, the Yankton State Hospital, or the South Dakota Human Services Center, is the first public institution in Dakota Territory. So for the Dakota Territorial Collection to be in the first public institution is pretty cool.
Yeah. Are there plans to really expand on that kind of maybe history of mental health treatment in the territory now that we're in this space?
Yeah, so we have an exhibit that will be opening at the end of 2019. So we're actually working on developing it right now. We wanted to set aside some decent space so that we could tell the history of mental health in Dakota Territory with this facility. It is a very rich history, and there's some really amazing research and amazing people that came out of this particular institution. So we're really excited. We've been working with the current administrator of the South Dakota Human Services Center, and they're very excited about being good partners with us as well, so that we can do. We want to make sure that the story we tell, although at times can be difficult, is correct, accurate, and also shows that it wasn't all bad. And we really want to make sure that we put into context for everyone the different periods of history. So it's a complicated story to tell, but we're definitely working hard to make sure that it's done right.
Right. And I wonder if you can talk a little bit more maybe about the role of partnerships with other institutions in the community, like with the Human Services Center and things like that. How does that help this long work and this long journey of moving a museum or making sure that it flourishes once it's in its new home?
Your partnerships are very, very important, and really the center goal of what we want to do. This is not just the Yankton County Historical Society's facility, and we're the only ones to really benefit from it. Partnerships that we have, you know, the partnership with the South Dakota Human Services Center, as well as with the local and regional schools, this has an opportunity for them as well. So we want to continue to expand our partnership on an education basis so that not only can the schools get to us, but that we can get out into the schools and have education kits and be able to get out and be more accessible, which has been something we've had a hard time with previously with lack of space and a lack of staff. You know, now we've been able to build that up so that we can become more accessible. The other partnership that we have physically with the facility is with Yankton College. Yankton College closed in the 1980s in Yankton, but they have continued to have an organization that, of course, is their alums. And they have all come together and have agreed to create a legacy project on the third floor of the Mead Building. And so they are working now on exhibits and renovation of their space. And they will move into the Mead Cultural Education Center and also be an ongoing long-term partner with us as well.
Wow. In the vein of exhibits that are coming in, what are some maybe new exhibits that are available for visitors now with the new reopening?
All right. So what's available now is what we're calling, it's just the first phase of like 8 phases of the Journeying Forward exhibit. We didn't want to wait until the entire exhibit was done because it's going to take a long time and a lot of resources. So we're going to be opening this, the Journeying Forward exhibit. There'll be a chunk of it opening every year for about the next 5 years. And that exhibit focuses on prehistory of the Dakota territorial space geographically, all the way through to the end of the core of discovery journey. And the purpose of us of this particular exhibit is not just to tell the story of Lewis and Clark through the area. It's a story that I know a lot of people know well. What we wanted to do was, again, this exhibit, we attempt to put the visitor into the right context, into the right atmosphere at the beginning of the exhibit, where they really understand what kind of trade relationships were among the tribes here already, and then how did the Europeans become involved in that. So hopefully then it's not just the story of Lewis and Clark coming through and what they encountered, it's what was already here, and then Lewis and Clark's involvement and how things changed after that. And that'll be the continuation. So a lot of our collections that people are used to seeing in our old location, they won't see some of those things for another year or two. They're going through and having lots of conservation work done on them, getting them ready to be on display in the future. But there is something to see now. And so that's the one part of the museum. And the other part is the Children's Transportation Museum. And so it's very hands-on, 100%. And we've had adults and kids alike all interact with this exhibit. It's a lot of fun, and yeah, it gives us an opportunity to share some basic history on transportation. How long did it take to get from Sioux City to Yankton, you know, in a Model T or using a covered wagon or walking? So there's some basic things there. And then on the second floor, we will be, like I said, we'll be opening later this year, the South Dakota Human Services Center History Exhibit. But open now in our hallway, we have the Dave Jensen photograph collection. So it's kind of the beginning of being able to show people what was here in the building, what the building looked like before we started. And it's really kind of shocking, I think, you know, even for us. We forgot what it was like when we started, and just see it now. It's really quite amazing the work that people have done with this facility to make it what it is.
Right, and maybe the beauty of museums is it's a lot more than plaques and artifacts in boxes that you aren't allowed to touch. We have our kids section, like you said, very hands on. Can you describe a little bit a bit more about what that section looks like?
Sure. So we started with just a basic information, that is just a panel about walking and what you had to do, what you had to pack. There's a complete dress-up closet for all the kids, hats, clothes, aprons, dresses. And then we have a half of a keel boat that kids can get into and experience. And there's lots of different trade items and stuff like that as part of that. And then they can go on to the covered wagon. They can climb inside the covered wagon. They can have, there's a campfire out beside it. So it's set up kind of like the end of the day. And there's a chuck box on the back of the wagon that's got all kinds of different food items, tin plates. When we have had kids come through, you know, they tell mom and dad, you got to sit here. You know, there's chairs by the fire, and they make them a pretend meal over the fire. We have two components of the exhibit that are still coming, so it's an exhibit that's still expanding, but we will have a train open in the next couple months and a plane, but we also have a Model T truck that's parked at a gas station that the kids can climb on, get inside. It starts up like a Model T and has the noises and everything to go with it.
Oh, fun.
It is a lot of fun.
Oh, man. Crystal, you mentioned you've been with the Yankton Historical Society over 10 years now. What is it, can you describe for our listeners what it is that you love about being involved with the Dakota Territory Museum and why it's so exciting to see it move into this new space with its own history?
But, you know, I think that, you know, Dakota territorial history seems to be underplayed a lot. And people maybe think, well, you know, there was the immigration of settlers from Europeans and so forth. And that's pretty much all that really happened. But there's so much more to the story. And I think what I've enjoyed the most is just that every box that we uncover or every file folder we pull out, you're always learning something new. And then people come in and they're like, oh, I'm working on this aspect of my family history. And you're like, oh my gosh, I had no idea that even went on around here. You know, so you're always adding to the story. And it's just a fascinating story with all the different components and all the different pieces, and how there's so many moments in Dakota territorial history where it could have gone dramatically different. And so we hope that as we continue to now have this space to be able to tell these stories and to get them out there, that people will at least have a snapshot of things we've been able to learn over the last 10, 11 years. I've been able to learn, that they'll have a snapshot of really being able to leave the museum going, wow, I didn't know that. And that's really neat to have. So I think that, you know, all these stories, they need to be told. We needed the space to tell them. And now we have that opportunity. So it's really exciting.
Really exciting. So a new space, new exhibits coming, partnerships with the community. And it looks, sounds like we're setting up for an exciting next few decades for the Dakota Territorial Museum.
Absolutely. You know, it's just the beginning.